Hello and welcome to Talking to Lead Hers, the podcast where we extend the conversation around female entrepreneurship beyond the challenges and instead focus on positivity and the actions we can each take to drive change.
By fundraising, we can improve our product development. We can get it in more into a product state, its current prototype state, and we can get it into more people's sewers, and we can really start helping people. At the moment, we can only service one or two customers at a time, but if we can really scale up, we can deliver it to multiple care homes to prevent norovirus. We can put it in workplaces to prevent respiratory viruses, and there's just so many other applications, right? You can put it in hospitals, cruise ships, like our schools, anywhere. And yeah, I'm excited to start actually really helping people by doing that.
Hi, I'm Jasmine Lum, an associate in the corporate team at CMS. In today's episode, I'm talking to Claire Trent, co-founder and CEO of Untap Health. Untap's wastewater surveillance technology detects and reduces transmission of viruses and bacteria at an early stage. Thank you for joining us today, Claire.
Hi, Jasmine. Thank you for having me.
Out of curiosity, do you recall when you joined the EQIP program?
A year and a half ago, potentially. Tell me, when was it?
I think you're right. Almost 2 years, I think. We are so glad to have you here and also be part of your journey.
Thank you very much. CMS has been invaluable in our fundraising and in so many facets of the business. So we're really grateful.
Moving back to like when you started, we understand that Untap was founded in early 2021 during the COVID pandemic. Can you tell us more about how Untap was positioned at the start and how you've navigated the change in landscape now that COVID has become endemic?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. So pandemic was obviously rife in 2021. The reason that I started the company was because I was looking at sewage surveillance in the UK. We were using sewage surveillance to monitor COVID across the UK, and it was actually a leading way of detecting where viruses were, COVID in this example, and then doing actions like, unfortunately, lockdowns. And the technology itself was very manual, and it was, that was what was being used at the time. And I mean, the COVID was everywhere, right? We were all locked down. It was a really different world to where we're in now and really different to where we were before. However, we haven't gone back to the same world we were in, I don't believe. And some reasons for that. As you can see in some other cultures, when they've had waves of illnesses such as SARS and MERS, the behavior didn't remain the same. People started wearing masks more, people were more wary. And we've seen something very similar here. On the tube now in London, people are wearing masks. Almost in every carriage you're in, you see people wearing masks. There's still hand sanitizers around. People are still very wary. They won't come to work if they're sick. People stay further away from people when they're sick. When someone sneezes on the tube, you look at them with the biggest death stare in the world. And as everyone knows, a Londoner wouldn't actually ever talk to another Londoner, but the death stare is quite impressive. So that culture really is evolving and changing. And we've seen that our company has evolved and changed with that. And so we started really to tackle that problem of COVID, and we were started with that in mind. However, the cultural change and the slight shift has meant that we've gone less towards the big movements. So we were looking at the big lockdown technology, essentially. But now we're looking more at the small cultural changes and therefore how our technology can help people navigate that small cultural change. For example, if you're in, for a care home as an example, and you have an illness, you can find it earlier and make small changes. And we're navigating that shift towards the viral awareness, the bacterial awareness that people now have, and helping them guide them through that, essentially. But we have really had to shift our company's goals and mission as we've gone through that change. And that's meant that everything has had to shift and change. Our company's framing of our company, our positioning of our company, and our marketing, everything essentially. But it's been a really fascinating 3 years as a company where the products remained essentially the same, but its use case has completely evolved in the past 3 years.
It sounds like you may resonate with the saying that the entrepreneurial journey is like being on a roller coaster ride. Other than the changing landscape. What were some of the challenges you faced, and how did you overcome these challenges?
So like every startup, you have the standard challenges of people and capital. And we also have the additional one of hardware. Hiring is, and always will be, a massive challenge. And we've now got a team that we're really, really happy with. And I mean, they're awesome. They're genuinely awesome. I'm really proud to work alongside everyone on my team. But it hasn't been easy finding that team or growing that team. But yeah, again, very pleased. But we have to go through another growing stage again soon. And growing pains are called growing pains for a reason. I'm sure we'll hit some more hurdles. And then hardware. Hardware is hard. That's nothing new to anyone. It's the lead times in ordering parts. It's a pain. And then also when you're hit by the backlog from COVID, and when you're hit with things like Brexit, that does have a problem with lead times. And there were just so many different things that had a knock-on impact, especially when you haven't got much purchasing power as a small startup. But the final one really is capital. For us, we fundraised in 22, and that was as COVID was on the tailwind, sort of. It wasn't as topical anymore. It wasn't necessarily on a tailwind. But as COVID was going away, I say in inverted commas, people, it was less sexy. It was less on people's minds. There was a COVID hangover, if you will, and no one wanted to talk about it. So raising capital for us was actually a real challenge, because we had to actually remove the word COVID from our pitch deck. We had to remove it from any of our pitches and talk about and concentrate on the fact that we can do any virus and any bacterial infection. So that was a genuine challenge in how to, again, reframe the company, reposition the company. But there was also this, we, as I mentioned before, we really believe there was going to be a cultural shift and an awareness that wasn't previously there, that people weren't as concerned about illnesses before and they would be more afterwards. Not everyone we spoke to, not every investor we spoke to held that same belief. They didn't hold that same behavioral change belief. So we're very pleased that the world has changed in that way, because it fitted with our belief. But that fundraising took a lot longer than we thought it would, which, again, we had to change how we presented the company. And we raised exactly what we wanted to raise. We actually raised more than we thought we would. And we'll be fundraising again later this year. So I look forward to going back out there, and I'm sure learning so much more.
Very exciting. And you mentioned that Untap is turning 3. And in these 3 years, you've won several awards. What are you and your team's proudest moments? And what are you most excited for in 2024?
Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate, I would say, in how we've been represented and support we've had from so many places. So I'm an Imperial College alumna, and Imperial College supported us from the get-go. They mentored us and nominated us to represent them at Europe's largest pan-European pitching competition. Always a mouthful to say that, stage 2. And at that competition, there were 50 other startups, and we won the top prize, best tech innovation. We won 6 out of the 13 prizes on offer, which was just phenomenal. And that was the beginning of what became a bit of a run. We ended up winning a few other things. Actually, CMS nominated us for Women Founder of the Year at the UK British Angel Association Awards, of which I'm very grateful. And we won that one. We then won Top 50 Women in Innovation by UKRI last year, Top 20 Global Startup by TechCrunch last year. And this year we were selected by Google to be Startup for Sustainable Development, which has been, incredible. It's, really quite, imposter syndrome is real. And I'm really proud of the whole team. Actually, my team wrote the application for the Google Startup Award, and I had very little idea, actually no idea, they'd written it and we'd won it. So I really can't take credit for all of this. I'm very lucky to be supported by an incredible team doing all these things. I'm very proud of all those. We are also currently doing product trials in, I think, 2 weeks in Scotland, which is, the team are working really hard to deliver on that. And we're doing a customer pilot at the moment in Manchester. So we really are getting across the country. And then again, fundraising. We are going to be fundraising later this year. I'm both excited and a bit trepidous. It's the market isn't as easy as it could be, but it's exciting in some ways because we've got so much we can accelerate. By fundraising, we can improve our product development. We can get it in more into a product state, its current prototype state, and we can get it into more people's sewers, and we can really start helping people. At the moment, we can only service one or two customers at a time. But if we can really scale up, we can deliver it to multiple care homes to prevent norovirus. We can put it in workplaces to prevent respiratory viruses. And there's just so many other applications, right? You can put it in hospitals, cruise ships, like our schools, anywhere. And yeah, I'm excited to start actually really helping people by doing that.
We're excited that you have so much in the pipeline. I've always known you to be resourceful. And one of the topics that has been a running theme throughout our Lead Her series is about the importance of having a strong network and having support from others in the startup community. You've mentioned that Imperial College has been really helpful, as well as your incredible team. Are there any other resources that you have found to be useful, and what lessons have you learned along the way?
Yeah, so network can't be undervalued, and it's such an annoying one that is slightly unfair. It gives an advantage that is slightly unfair. The network I built Entrepreneur First was amazing, and actually some of the people I met Entrepreneur First have become my best friends. And we built a female founders, actually, Entrepreneur First WhatsApp group. Sorry to anyone who listens to this, isn't in that WhatsApp group. And it has been a space to ask questions of that. For example, R&D tax credits, who is the best platform to go to? Or who's the best accountant? Someone else has done that research. There's no point everyone doubling up on it. Which is the best insurance policy, another example, but silly things like, how did you manage to navigate this problem with your team? How did you manage to navigate this other small, more HR, more personal problem? And it feels a bit silly asking that in a professional forum, but when it's a group and a WhatsApp group, not that hard. You feel more comfortable doing it. So that was very, very helpful. But then you build, and that network snowballs very easily. Once you have one or two friends, then you meet other people. And for example, at the CMS evenings that I've been to a few of in this lovely building that we're recording in, I've met more people, and it really does, again, snowball. And I'm very lucky to have met those people. So yeah, that's been really the most important thing, has been the network, the people. And most important learnings have been about carving out time. There's two ways that I find I work. One is focus time and actually working on something big, and then there's the small bitty projects, the things that are smaller you can dip in and out of. And I found that all the big chunky work just kept being left behind because you're doing all the small things, you're running around a bit manic. So I'm trying, I haven't got there yet, and maybe this is a lifelong journey of learning. I'm trying to get much better at carving out time to do the big things and get those done and focus time. It's a lifetime of learning. And the most other important thing is prioritizing the team, because their support is just so invaluable when you really need them.
It sounds like you have an amazing team behind you. As part of the CMS Equip Lead Hers initiative, we are encouraging everyone to commit to one positive action. It could be big or small, perhaps to make the life science or tech space a better place, or to support underrepresented founders over the coming months. What positive action will you take over the next year?
So this is something that I'm actually really passionate about. When I was going through my education, even from A-levels through school, etc., I had so many people help me through navigating what I wanted to do. And there weren't that many women when I was younger that had forged out this career path. And people, women as well as men, helped and supported and took me for coffees, lunches, and like told me what, for example, I didn't know that even some subjects at university existed. For example, material science or physical chemistry. I thought it was physics, chemistry, biology. And I wish someone had helped guide me through that. I wish I'd had more people that I could have turned to for help. So I am very much trying to support people that reach out. And I'm not saying I'm replying to everyone that messages me on LinkedIn. That's very much not what happens. But example, my sister's boyfriend's sister is doing some work experience with us. One of my team's sisters is doing some work experience with us. One of our potential future Ned's daughters is coming to do some work experience with us. And these things have a very small impact on my day. It might take an hour of my time, and then the rest of the day they're doing, they're following or helping. But to them, it really helps. And yes, yeah, so this is my what I'm trying to do more of going forward. And again, I'm not going to apply to every single person on LinkedIn, because that can snowball again. But helping people that you think you can add value to, and maybe just one a month as well. But yeah, that's something I really am committed to doing and aim to do more of, and make it valuable for both people as well. It's very easy to go into that unstructured, and it's very easy to make it a waste of time for everyone. So going into that in a structured way where you can add value to people and yeah, build a connection. It's also very easy in these relationships, and I have them with going up as well as down, is to keep them going beyond their necessary lifespan or viability. There is a natural end and natural conclusion. So making sure that that is a well-packaged experience for everyone, which sounds quite clinical, but it wasn't meant to. So yeah, that's really what I want to provide. And then from a company point of view, something slightly different here. We as a company have the ability to be big brother technology. We as a company could be detecting, for example, in individual houses, in individual toilets, for viruses and bacteria. And what we found is that leads to a very big brother approach. It makes people not like our technology. And we really, really think this technology can help lots of people. And the second you become the brand that people are scared of, that people don't want in their office, don't want their care home, then it becomes a problem. So we're really making sure that we don't become that big brother surveillance technology. For example, we're not doing drug testing because we don't think that'll have positive sentiment behind it. So yeah, they're the two different things for me personally, and then from the company's perspective.
Love it how you are paying it forward because you benefited from the past. Thank you, Claire, for joining us today. If you would like to know more information on Untap Health, please visit untaphealth.com. If you want to hear more about CMS's startup program, Equip, or the LeadHers initiative, please visit the startup section of cms.law.